Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Sharper than any two-edged sword, it pierces. Bread that feeds us. Meat, milk that nourish us. So, Lord, we pray that we would come now, knife and fork in hand, ready to feed on the word of God. Pray that the Holy Spirit would inspire us to understand, illuminate to us the text, that we'd be able to take it in, to hear it, to chew on it and digest it so it becomes part of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, if you've had a chance to go through the stores, then you've probably seen something like what's coming up. The little marshmallow peeps. How many have seen the little marshmallow peeps this week? Yeah. I got to tell you something. As a kid, I think I had a sugar addiction, and I still couldn't eat those. Some people love those things. Those are like squishy little sugar balls, you know? And they're looking at you right now. So, now peeps we're familiar with. Now, yesterday, when I was up in Albany, my son Ben and I had to go get some racing shoes for him for his track. We stopped by the mall to the candy store up on the second floor of Crossgate because they sell sugar-free candy there. And we picked up, not this, but we picked up some hard candy, some sugar-free root beer, those little things you suck on. Now, there's a whole lot of difference between those little peeps and that stuff. You could take one of those little peeps, because they're basically full of air, squeeze them things down, and you get this little ball of nothing. Or you could suck on these things for a while. Hard candy. I've entitled this morning's message, Hard Candy. Hard candy. When you read the Gospels, 28 chapters of Matthew, 16 chapters to Mark, 24 chapters of Luke, and 21 chapters of John, you are confronted with Jesus, with his teachings, with his life, with his miracles. Much of the Gospels focus on the last week of Jesus' life, known as the Passion Week. Beginning with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, culminating with his resurrection and a few events that follow that. And as you take the time to read through the Gospels, you will find yourselves again and again running in to sweetness. Because the Gospel is filled with the sweetness of good news. The sweetness of good news. For example, how many of you have ever found yourself at a place in life where you are so tired, you're tired of being tired? Okay? Take a look at the sweetness of Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all of you who I'm paraphrasing, are pooped out. All of you who are worn down. See, there used to be a time when in our culture, we worked when it was light and we slept when it was dark. We don't do that anymore, do we? We have stores that are open 24 hours a day. You have the internet you can log on to anytime. You've got channels on cable that you can watch around the clock. Unfortunately, we've bought into the lie that faster is better, more is better, and so we cram more and more and more into our lives. We find ourselves without margin. We find ourselves without white space. We're exhausted, drained. What a sweet section of Scripture. When Jesus says, come to me, all you who are drained and exhausted, wearied and worn out, take my yoke on you. Learn from me. You're going to find rest for your souls because I'm humble, I'm meek. What a sweet section of verses. What about over in John 3:16 and 17? familiar verses, no doubt, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. We know that one, but do you know the verse after that? Verse 17, it's 16 and 17 together. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Talk about sweetness. How many of you have ever wrestled with a sense of guilt? Overwhelming sense of you just didn't do enough. The shoulda, coulda, wouldas. A life filled with regret of what could have happened. Feeling that sense of conviction and sense of condemnation. What sweet words. God did not send his son into the world to stand in judgment and condemnation over you, but to give you salvation and to free you. Not only free you from that exhaustion in Matthew, but to free you from the condemnation here in John. What a blessing that we find in God's word. Another sweet word. Well, we've got some more. If we flip over there to John 4:14. How many people have you met that just seem to have this insatiable desire that never gets satisfied? So they try to numb their thirst by turning to addictive behaviors because they just can't seem to fill the void inside. What a sweet word from the Lord that if we drink his water, we never thirst again. That his water wells up within us, that there is in Christ a deep satisfaction that comes in knowing him. That search inside you, that search for significance, that search for purpose, that search for life, that thing that drives you to prove yourself, to try to achieve, to try to get people to like you, that drive, that fear of rejection, that fear of failure that motivates you gets met in Christ because he gives you that water that quenches the thirst so that you don't thirst again. That's a sweet word, isn't it? Sweet word from heaven. How about this one? In the Gospel of Matthew. You ever feel alone? You ever feel like you're on the outside looking in? Like everybody else gets it, but you don't? Everybody else is laughing, but you didn't get the joke? Jesus has promised this sweetness to you that he will never leave you or forsake you. That he will be with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter what struggle you go through, no matter what trial you have to face, no matter what difficulty or challenge or obstacle you face, Jesus has promised what a sweetness that he's given you. And we'll throw one more up. Because today is Resurrection Sunday. Over the last couple of weeks, I had the opportunity to walk with a family as they had to face the valley of the shadow of death. I announced last week that Pam and Mackenzie Hall suffered the loss of Pam's mom. That we got the call on a Monday night at 9:15 at night. Pastor Ray, my mother's being taken to Cooperstown Hospital. She was walking across the street and didn't see the truck that hit her. So we get to the hospital that night and we were there till about 3 in the morning walking with the family. Having to deal with the fact that this woman who 8 hours before was fine, but there was lying in ICU with all these tubes in her, her brain hemorrhaging, the blood filling up the back of the brain, internal injuries. And to walk with this family, and what a difference, because Dale knew Jesus. I can tell you this, having pastored now for 30 years, there is a qualitative difference between someone who knows Jesus and someone who doesn't when they face death. When someone knows Jesus, they know that death doesn't get the final word. When someone knows Jesus, they know that he is the resurrection and the life, and though they die, they will be raised again with him on the last day. They know that death is not the end into a place of nothingness. It is simply a doorway from this life to the life to come, and there is no fear. There may be sorrow, yes, because they're leaving loved ones and loved ones are losing the one they love, but there's no fear. Why? Because Jesus has already faced down that fear when he was raised from the dead. And he becomes the guarantee that every one of us who receive Christ get the sweetness of that promise. The gospel is filled with the sweetness of good news. And if you have never heard that good news, then I declare Jesus to you today. If you do not know Christ, Jesus is the one that you want to run to. He's the one. No wonder the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Gospels, the word gospel itself means good news. And this message is good news. As one of our young people said, it is about a relationship. This isn't about rules and regulations and rituals. This is about a relationship with the God of the universe who loved you enough to send his son Jesus to die on the cross so that you can be in a relationship with him. That is sweet. If I could quote my dear turtle from Finding Nemo, sweet. And it is sweet. It is good news. I remember talking to a young person one time, it was a number of years ago, and he had been raised in a home where he said, I was taught 100 ways to go to hell. Jesus was used as a club to try to keep their child in line. Let me tell you about who Jesus really is. He's sweet. He's sweet. Sweeter as the days go by. The gospel is good news for exhausted, lonely, condemned, fearful, thirsty people. It is filled with the sweetness of good news. And all of that is true. But if I stop here, I have not finished the preaching. Because not only is the gospel filled with the sweetness of good news, the gospel is also filled with the hard call of discipleship. That's why today's message isn't just called sweet candy. Today's message isn't called marshmallow peeps. See, sometimes what happens is because we're uncomfortable with the hard call of discipleship, we want the peeps. We want the little marshmallow goo stuff that we can... But I'll tell you this, you eat too many marshmallow peeps, you're going to be hurting. And that's the problem if we give people a gospel that's not complete and we tell them about all the sweetness without the hard call of discipleship, we are setting them up for a fall. And we're not being faithful to the Word of God because not only is it sweet candy, not only is it candy, it's hard candy because there's a hard call of discipleship here. Take a look, for example, at the last verse of Matthew chapter 5. Be perfect. Whoa! Whoa! Go back to that. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Quick, give me a peep. This hard candy stuff. Be perfect. You got to be kidding. That's the standard God calls us to. In the Sermon on the Mount. Be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. You can just see the disciples going, oy vey. How? Well, Jesus already taught them how back in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. See, the only way you get into the kingdom and enjoy the benefits is to acknowledge you don't deserve the benefits in the kingdom and you need the righteousness that the king can give you. But that's the standard that he calls you to. That's a pretty intense standard. How about we flip over a couple more chapters to Matthew chapter 7? Jesus gets even more intense. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to make it in. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. You didn't do what my Father told you to do. Okay. Can we go back to that water, drinking, thirsty? Like that one. Sweet. This one's tough. But see, what this tells me is it's not enough just to go, sweet Savior. I also have to do loving Lord. See, what this tells me is that I get the sweet benefits, but there's also a hard call of discipleship that goes with it. I can't just be halfway in and halfway out. I can't be, ooh, you know, doing the hokey pokey. Put your right foot in, put your right foot out. I'm either all in or I'm all out. But you can't be halfway. See, this is what Jesus is bringing us to bear in these Gospels. It isn't just enough about love, love, love. And it's in there. The sweetness is there. There is love in there. But the sweetness of love is included with the submission of us to God as Lord and King. And Jesus says, don't think you can call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do. Wow. That's hard candy, Pastor. Yeah, it is. That's why for a pastor, it's easier to preach peeps. It's way easier. You can get a crowd with peeps, but you can't produce disciples with peeps. Oh, you can get converts who will raise a hand with peeps. You can bribe people with peeps, but you won't get healthy disciples that love and live for Jesus Christ without bringing both hard candy together, without having both the sweetness and the hard call of discipleship. They go hand in hand. They have to. Be perfect. Wow. Can't just say, Lord, Lord. Well, Jesus isn't done. Let's keep going down into Matthew. I think it's chapter 16. Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How many of you have ever seen Passion of the Christ? Take up your cross? That sounds dangerous. Scary. Son of God was shown in our theater a few weeks ago. Take up the cross. Can't I just wear it around my neck? As E.V. Hill says, we're not called to wear the cross, we're called to bear the cross. And Jesus, what Jesus wants to get at is you like the sweet miracles, don't you? You love it when I turn water into wine and I take fish and multiply and bread and multiply. You like it when you were lame and now you can walk. You like it when you were blind and now you can see. You like it when you were deaf and now you can hear. You like it when you were a leper and now you're cleansed. And that's the sweetness that goes with the gospel. But understand that with that sweetness, there is a price that God calls us to pay in response to Christ's payment, and that is surrender. Oh, please give me the peeps instead. Let me just squish on the peeps a little bit. Nah, you got to suck on the hard candy for a while. You got to suck on it for a while and understand that what Jesus is saying is, if you want to follow me, it's on my terms, not yours. You don't dictate the terms of this arrangement. I'm sovereign Lord, and I dictate them. But understand, I dictate them in such a way that I get glory and you get the good. You'll get the sweet, but it comes with a cost. Discipleship. Now, over in Luke chapter 6, Jesus isn't done. He says, oh, I want to go even one better. You know, you think you're pretty good if you just love your neighbor. I want you to go deeper. I want you to love your enemy. What? What? Love my enemy? That tasted like a Sour Patch. I'm not so sure. Oh, that was a sweet tart, if you don't tell me. What do you mean, love my enemy? You mean people that do me dirt? Yeah, because if you only love those who love you, what have you done, Jesus said. Even unbelievers can do that. No, I want you to start praying for your enemies. I want you to start doing good to your enemies. I want you to start blessing your enemies. I want to call you to a radical kingdom life. I just want my little yellow peep. Love my enemies. You've got to be kidding. And when you add to that what Jesus says also in the Gospel of Luke, you got to hate your mother and your father. Wait a minute, I got to love my enemies and hate my parents? I'm confused, Jesus. What Jesus is challenging us is this. No other relationship can be as important as our relationship with God. It's not that he wants us to hate our parents, literally, but in comparison, he becomes the dominant one that our life is about. Okay? These are hard words, church. And on a Resurrection Sunday, it would be really nice as you come in here that all I talk about is all the sweetness. But I would be unfaithful before God if I don't tell you that the gospel is also filled with the hard call of discipleship. So which is it, Pastor? Is it sweet or is it hard? Is it the candy? It's both. The gospel is filled with the sweetness of good news and it's filled with the hard call of discipleship. So if you're sitting here and you wanted a peep message, you're not going to get it out of this preacher. I can't, because I'm accountable to my boss. And I will preach to you by God's grace the whole counsel of God and let you know that there is a sweetness in the gospel that you cannot even begin to imagine. There is a contentment and a fulfillment that comes being in the middle of the will of God that you will find nowhere else. There is a destiny and purpose larger than yourself that you can become part of. There is an adventure that you can join that will blow you away. But understand this, it comes at the cost that you surrender everything to Him. And if you and I respond to the cross by falling before the cross, see, here's the deal. Jesus already showed us how to do this. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says, seeing that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we need to throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and we need to run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Get this. Looking unto Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Sweet cross. You can't have resurrection without crucifixion. You can't have Calvary without Good Friday. We can't have the empty tomb without Good Friday. See, we want the peep of Sunday. We want the peep of resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. But do you understand that the Sunday needed Friday? That Jesus had to bear our sin on Friday. He had to die on the cross on Friday because you need a crucifixion to get a resurrection. And without a crucifixion, you can't have a resurrection. But on the other hand, without the resurrection, the crucifixion is the death of a martyr. Both are present. This is hard candy. But here's what I know about people. Not everybody wants the full gospel. But does that mean I should shade it? Cut a piece off here, cut a piece there? No way. Because here's what I believe. If people are given the real thing and they have a chance to hear it for what it is, the truth of the sweetness and the hard call of discipleship, that full gospel message the Holy Spirit can take and drive home into a person's heart and bring about life transformation. See, today it's not about how many of you will raise your hand and get converted. Today is about how many of you are going to hear the call of hard candy, of the sweetness and the call to discipleship, and say, I want that challenge in my life. That there's something greater than I've lived to this point that I want to be part of, bigger than I am. And I've gotten to the point in my life where I am tired of peeps. I am tired of stuff filled with air that can be squished down into a ball of nothing. I need something lasting. I need something real. I need something that'll carry me through to the end of my days and through my death and then in my resurrection with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want the real deal. And my guess is there's some of you out there that are in that exact same spot today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that the gospel is filled with the sweetness of good news and the hard call of discipleship. And it doesn't mean that they're opposite each other, but they complement each other. It is hard candy. It's sweet, all of the promises. But it's hard in that you call us to surrender. And there's something in us, maybe it's just because we're Americans, maybe it's because we're sin nature, who knows, but there's something in us that says, no, let us dictate the terms. We're a democracy, we get to vote on this. But Lord, your word is pretty clear. Now it's absolutely clear that all of that sweetness is available to those who will bow their knee before the King, who will take His teachings and build their lives on Him and His Word. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take not the peep, but take that hard candy, Lord, the truth of both, and even now begin to build it into people's lives by your Spirit. If this message has been used by the Holy Spirit, this isn't for my benefit, but for yours and the kingdom's. If God has challenged you, it's time to throw out the peeps. The peeps aren't for me anymore. I want the full deal. And you're saying, yes, Lord. If you would just raise your hand right where you are, all over the sanctuary. Lord, you have seen the hands of those who have raised them before you, who have heard your word and are willing to put the peeps in the trash. They're willing to accept the sweet and the hard. And I pray, God, that as they do, that this Resurrection Sunday would be a day of transformation starting for them. I pray that this would be a day where, because of the joy set before them, they're willing to endure the cross, to honor you as Savior and Lord. And for those here who already know you, long for you, love you, I pray, Lord, that today would be an encouragement that it's worth it. That it's worth it. That joy comes in the morning, even if weeping endures for a night. Thank you for the victory that is ours in Christ, that one day when we see you face to face, it will be sweet. In Jesus' name, amen.